What a wonderful season. What a great time this is. You're unmovable. You're founded. You're established. God really does care about what you're going through, and he wants you to go through it in a really great way. He wants to take you from where you are to where he wants you to be, and he wants you to know that he's with you every step of the way. And when you say God is with you, it doesn't just mean he's hanging out watching you stumble and fall. It means God is with you. You know, when God appeared, when the prophet knew that the king was coming after him with his army to kill him because the prophet was seen, the word says that he could literally hear what he was saying in his private quarters. They wanted to get rid of the prophet. They didn't want to hear from heaven. Sometimes religious people just don't want to hear from heaven. They want God to speak, but they want him to say what they're listening for. You know, God's word will always come to pass. And it will come to pass exactly as God said it. It may not come to pass the way you heard it, but it will come to pass the way God said it. Have you ever talked to someone, or someone spoke to you, said something to you? Maybe it sounded offensive or it sounded odd, and you said, "Why did you say that?" And they will say, "Why did I say what?" And you'll repeat to them what you think they said, and then they come back at you and say, "That's not what I said at all." That's God. God saying, if you get discouraged or you think that what I said is not coming to pass, not only down the road, but the minute I said it, then you didn't hear what I said. You heard what you wanted to hear me say. But you need to hear what God says, because he says his word is sure, and it is. He said, my word, he says it this way, my word is yes, and in me it is amen. In other words, it's my word, and it will come to pass. And something incredible about the word of God, it's important, number one, to read. You should read the word of God every day. Every single day of your life, you should open up the word, and you should come before the Lord, almost just kind of like you just got born again with that first love. The psalm says, Chronicles says the same thing. It says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Seek his face always. I think one of the biggest deterrents, one of the greatest weaknesses in the link of the body of Christ is waiting for events that we don't have to wait for. Waiting for something to take place so we can move forward, so you can be complete, or so the bad is over and the good begins. But God is so present. He said, Jesus said, I'm with you all the time. I'll never, ever, ever leave you. I'll never forsake you. So, no apologetics today. Those that are waiting for Jesus to come, for things to get better, you're missing it, because he's already here. He never left. He never went anywhere, because he said he wouldn't. And you have to know who Jesus is, or you could be looking him right in the face and never know that he's there. It's happened. Even when he was in the physical form as a man, sent by God, born of a virgin, according to the word of the Lord, by the Spirit of God, staring right into his face. Just because you're looking at him doesn't mean you're seeing him. I'm really good at that kind of stuff. My wife is very, very neat, very specific about where things should go. She's not a fanatic. She's just determined that things will be in place. And they are. And every now and then, I have a tendency to put things in a different place. I'm not going to say they're out of place, but they're in a different place. And when my wife looks at them, she says, these don't go here. So she will move them back. Now, I remembered where I put them. So when I'm looking for it and I say, it's gone, it's not here. My wife, she did it again just the other day. It's my life. And I'm thankful that someone can find what's right in front of me that I cannot see, even though I'm looking at it. And the other day, she pulled open the drawer. I was looking for, can't remember what it was now. I was looking for something. And I said, we don't have any. It's gone. We lost it. I can't find it. It's not here. And my wife will come in and she'll say, right, it's right there, honey. And I'm looking right at it. But it's not where I thought it was supposed to be, so I can't see it. So she'll come and say, it's right here. And I'll grab my head and say, I can't believe that. I'm looking right at it. How did I not see it? How did you know where it was? Because she knew where it was supposed to be. And she finds it all the time. My youngest daughter, she's kind of like me. We can look right at something sometimes. We're looking at it, but sometimes we just don't see it because we expect it to be, right, Lene? We expect it to be, I don't know where we expect it to be, but it's just not there. And then when my wife walks in the room, what I think happens actually is when she walks in the room, it materializes. And it's just there. Nonetheless, the law of looking and seeing are two different, they're two different natures. They're two different things. You can look at something, but if you don't know what you're looking at, then you don't benefit by what it is, no matter how great it is, because you just don't see it. And one of the greatest disconnects of the body is that we're undecided. We're undecided about where he is, what he's doing, if we're in his will or not in his will, if we're doing what he wants us to do or not doing what he wants us to do. Did we mess up too badly or did we just not do it good? I want to tell you, there's no one that's ever going to be good enough to please God. You can be the best person in the world, and that's never going to give you the ability to see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, in order to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And it's important to know what being born again is, because born again doesn't mean you come up to a prayer. You're not born again because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That's not why you're born again. You're not born again because he raised from the dead. You're born again because you accept that he died for your sins and you believe and you see your salvation in what he did. Jesus died for a lot of people that won't receive him as their Savior. So that doesn't change anyone. It doesn't empower anyone. You have to see what salvation is. And salvation is the will of God being brought to pass in the creation for the purpose to which he designed you. And he designed us to please him. He designed us to be indwelt by him. You are indeed the temple of God. But how so? You are the temple of God because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. You can fast, you can pray, you can seek, you can crawl on your hands and knees every day for miles in humility. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you lack the essential power that demonstrates Christ within you so you can have a relationship with him. That power is the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said it is expedient, it is essential that I go from here and make a different appearance to you by the Holy Spirit so I can indwell you, because as a man, he can't get inside of us, but as a spirit, he dwells within you. Amen. One time, Philip said to him, show us the Father and it will suffice us. It will be good enough for me if you show us the Father. Duh. Yeah, I guess so. I guess if God could appear and you could look at him and go, oh my God, there you are, then you would believe. But you wouldn't see him as God because you cannot see him as God, because he is beyond your power. He is beyond your ability to perceive, to know, and understand. So a lot of people walk around in, excuse the crudeness, ignorance, because they want God to prove he's God to their natural mind, to their flesh, and you can't even make up your mind and keep it for over a day or two. You go out and buy a brand new car, see someone with one you think is nicer, and you wished you'd waited and got that car when you were excited an hour ago about the one you bought. You purchase a watch or purchase a house or some clothes or whatever it is. You'll order something at the restaurant. They bring you your plate and you're, this is great. Your neighbor, your friend, your mom, dad, uncle, brother, sister, whoever, orders something looks better than yours. And you're like, oh man, I wished I had ordered that. So don't tell me that if God showed up and you could see him with your eyes that you would believe him, because you'd still doubt him because you doubt your own senses. I watched Scrooge once And he doubted his own senses. Why do you doubt your own senses? Because they are not stable. They change like the wind. But Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Jesus. Jesus isn't just the same. Jesus is the same. Do you understand the difference? He's not, he said, I am the same. He is the same. Which means the character of remaining the same, constant, that's Jesus. I am the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. So I see Jesus in consistency. I see Jesus in that which does not change. And if we follow that spirit, that appearance of Jesus, which is consistency, then you're walking in the presence of the Lord. His word is the same, it doesn't change. So if you say one thing and you say, I should do this, then you should do it. The word says, if a person believes what they say will come to pass, then when they ask, when they pray, when they say a thing, it will come to pass. Let me break it down real simple for you. When you're not a person of your word, you're not going to believe God's word. The Lord said it like this. He said, if you can't believe the natural things, how are you going to believe the spiritual things? Jesus said, I'm talking to you about natural things and you don't get it, so how are you ever going to perceive the spiritual things? You'll never see them. Spiritual and natural are two very given, very static laws. The static law of the natural is that it can't make up its mind. It's inconsistent. It's always changing. The consistency of God is remaining. Jesus said, I am the same. It's time to be the same. It's time to love the same way you love every day, regardless of what your neighbor does or doesn't do. Because we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit is pure and holy. He is called the Holy Spirit. And to walk in the power, to see Jesus in the way we are supposed to see him, we're going to have to dump our idols. We're going to have to get rid of all our foreign gods. We're going to have to get rid of the devil in the church. He can't be God anymore. The devil cannot be God to the church any longer. Amen. He can't be that second God that's just a little weaker than God. He is no God at all. Only God is God. So we have to get rid of the devil and every excuse that we use, and we shouldn't even really be talking about him. We should be talking, as the word says, I meditate on your law, my heart and my mind is on your law and your word constantly, consistently. I remain there. All things are of him, through him, and to him are all things. And that's where we should live. If everything is God, God's in it. God's in the fire. God's in the purging fire. Prophetically, a few weeks ago, a month ago, the word of the Lord came and God said, I'm going to purge by fire. And however you want to interpret it, God is doing a purging in the nations of the earth. Prophetically, I've said to you, there's going to be 3 years of purging. It's going to be an incredible time for us. For some, it depends on what their interpretation is, whether they think it evil or whether they think it good. If your heart is set on all things, work to Romans 8:28. All things have to work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, then whatever takes place is going to unveil itself as very good, incredibly good, wonderfully good, really good. I heard someone say the other day, actually someone I've met, and they were in the Palisade fires and their home was burnt, everything they had. So they had valuable things, they had this and they had that, and a lot, but said it's just stuff. And then said this, said, you know, in a strange way, I feel purged. I thought, wow, that's very interesting. So the point is God has to be God in everything. I want to see Jesus appear. How many want to see Jesus appear? But I have to tell you something, I'm not waiting for him in a cloud. Because he never told me to do that. He told me to seek him while he may be found. He said that he's with us always. You can say, well, you're saying he's not coming on a cloud? I didn't say that at all. He's coming in a lot of ways. He's been doing it forever. He is God ever present with us. But I want to say this to you. There is no generation that God is going to favor more than another with his presence. He is not a respecter of person. So neither my generation, nor Abraham's generation, nor Paul's generation, nor the generation of beyond is going to have the opportunity to see Jesus any more clearly than you can. He would not do that. He would not make himself more available to one generation than he would another, because that would be preference. That would be respect. And he said, I am not that. And the great deterrent of the church is that we do one of two things. Well, we actually don't here, but some do. I won't call them out. Blaming the devil for things when they go wrong. Who said it went wrong? Get your faith right. All things work together for good. You may not like what happened, and you don't have to call it good, but you have to see God in it. You have to see him in it. Jesus again said, I'm going to be with you all the time. The psalmist had it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Every day he restores my soul. Every day he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's who he is. And even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear it because it's not about me. I fear no evil. Fear no evil. Fear no evil. Evil, evil, evil. For thou art with me. Your rod, I'm quoting O King James, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod and staff is that which keeps you in line. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He didn't call it bad. You prepare a table before me. Not in the presence of my friends, but in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Cup of what joy? Anointing. Surely, absolutely, positively, undoubtedly, only goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life, every day of my life. And I will dwell in the presence, the tabernacle, the house, the covert of the Lord. That's God. And there were men in the Old Testament, before Christ came, that walked in incredible power with God because they knew what he looked like. They knew how to find him. The Lord is all. God has always been here. The earth is the Lord's. It isn't man's. So don't curse it. Bless it. Just like God did. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, everything in it, and everyone that dwells in it. If we will take on the attitude of the eyes and the heart of God, and that God is God and he is Lord over all, your whole perspective of relationship, your whole perspective of life transforms into something totally different. It's called being transformed and not conned or conformed to the world, but transformed, not the earth, but to the world. The opinions, the attitude, the ideas that people create as a map and a way of life based on how they've experienced life, which could be very, very inaccurate. Because if you don't live by faith, you don't see life as it really is. And there's always an enemy, and it causes division, it causes hardship, it causes difficulty, it causes contention and wars and rumors of wars. The word says, where do wars come from? Don't they come of your own lusts that war within you? But we like to blame devils and demons and spirits and people, and really, God says it's when you start desiring things as though you didn't have what you need and you begin to fight about it. I like your dish better than my dish. If you have a really good friend, they'll say, hey, let's trade. And if you're a really bad friend, you accept. Unity. In the knowledge of the Son of God, till we all come into the unity of the faith. I am not waiting for Jesus to come, because he's not going to be any more Jesus when he comes on a cloud or a drape is rolled back and he's standing there, or however, because he's already come over and over and over. He said, I'll never leave you. But his glories are endless. The appearance you're waiting for is exactly that. It's another appearance. What the church calls the second coming or the rapture, which literally isn't in the text of scriptures, but we all get what we're saying. When they're waiting for that event, in order to bring change, you want to get out. Now, it's sad to me to think that generations prior have went to their grave, they've went home, thinking that they never saw Jesus the way we may see him. That's sad to me. It's sad. Don't be sad. It's sad, but don't be sad. Because they did. If Jesus were to come out on a cloud today, if that's what he's going to do, and he was going to do it today, and he came on a cloud, and we looked up and saw him, I have to tell you, he's not going to be any more Jesus than he is right now. He's not going to be any more present than he is right now. He's not going to be any more complete or any more full than he is right now. As a matter of fact, according to Scripture, that day were to come, a lot of people are going to wish it hadn't. So you see, it's not that you see him, it's how you see him. And this is what we have to be aware of. I'm reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, and it says, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed, the veil of religion, the veil of tradition, the veil of blindness. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is that Spirit. So what I just said, it's right there in the Word, in condensed version. God saying, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. But religion teaches you that Jesus is hidden, that he cannot be seen. There's a day that Jesus, the Word says, that he entered, it's in Luke chapter 7 and verse 24. And he said from there, from where he was, he arose and he went to the region of Tyre of Sidon. And he entered the house, this is very interesting, and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. You can't hide him. Even if he wants to be hidden, he can't be hidden because he is the light of the world. He could not be hidden because people begin to know the power that worked in him, and they were hungry for that power. There was a woman with a daughter that was waiting for him. If you're waiting for him, he will appear. But not waiting for him to appear. If you understand that you are ever present with me, that you never leave me, you never forsake me, regardless of what's going on, I'm not going to give anyone credit as though some other God has control in my life. I'm going to say the Lord is with me. If the Lord leads you through a purging fire, you have to say God is purging. He will restore, he will rebuild, he will renew, he will move on. But God is in the midst of all things that take place according to his will and his word. And I'm not saying God does evil. He does not. God is good. He's good all the time. But there is a scripture that even says when calamity comes, has not the Lord brought it? We know how to rejoice when we feel good. Do you know how to rejoice when your body tells you it doesn't feel happy? Do we rejoice because our body tells us we can rejoice? Or do we rejoice because our faith tells us to rejoice? Are we consistent in what God is, who he is? See, if you know who he is, you'll see him every day. I see him in Julie. Every Sunday, when Julie walks up to me, I hear God speaking through me. And the Lord quickened that to me a long time ago, and Julie didn't even know it. When I hear the testimony, I hear the word come from Chris, I hear God speaking to me, saying to me, you know what? You're doing what I said. You asked to walk in my word and my favor. I want you to hear me tell you through my image that looks just like me, by faith, by purpose and power, that you are who I called you to be. I see God when I look at Chris. I hear God when I listen to his wife, Terry. I hear the voice of the Lord. I can feel God embracing me, God's hug, when my giant friend over here, Steve Blenn, gives me a big hug. When my friend Anton says to me, Pastor, the word, I can hear God saying, I hear God speaking through this man, and I see God showing honor to the anointing that belongs to God through this man right here. And everyone is unique and special and a delight if you know that's God. Now, don't be a fool, and I'm not calling you one. I'm just encouraging you not to be one. And think I'm saying you're God, because God is God, but I understand what he looks like. I understand what he looks like, so I know what to look for when I'm looking for him. He said you are his temple, and he would dwell in you. See, we got a lot of body parts floating around, but we don't have much of a body sometimes because they just don't come together. The word says you are the body of Christ, and members particularly, each uniquely in your own and called purpose, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. What if an aspect of Jesus returning was him showing up through the body? I don't know where else to look for him other than in my faith and in his body, because that's where he said he would appear. And when he has appeared in the ways that man has wanted him to appear, they still didn't see him. They looked at him, they talked to him, but they denied and renounced him. Rather he'd be revealed to me in a way that I don't renounce him and I don't deny him, because he didn't look the way I thought he should look when he showed up. I know he's love, and when I hear love, I know I'm hearing Jesus. I don't care if you're a heathen or a righteous person. God is God. If he can speak through a donkey, sometimes he can even speak through men and women. God will use the unrighteous to promote you. He will use the unrighteous, those that don't believe in him, to bring things to you, giving you the opportunity to witness of his honor and his favor. Paul said, I pray for you that the spirit of wisdom and understanding would be on you. I pray for you all the time that you may know him better, that you may know him more. Listen to the word and not to religion. Religion always wants you to wait for something because they can control you better that way. Religion can get into your pockets more deeply if they tell you you have to wait for something, or that they are the pinnacle, they are the person, or they can describe. God is God, and we're all parts of that body. Different anointings, different presentations, but it's all God. And Jesus could not be hidden. You know why? Because he can't be. He is as present with you now as he will be to those that believe the rapture is coming today or tomorrow, or the second coming. I believe he's appearing. I believe he's going to appear in the heavens. I believe he's going to appear in the earth. I believe he's going to appear on the sea. I believe, most importantly, he's going to appear in his body, because that's what he wants. We want him to appear so we can get out of trouble. I want trouble to get out of here because we appeared. What is trouble? To one, trouble is a blessing to someone else. You know, if your business falls apart, the business that's similar just down the street is happy you fell apart because he gets more business. So what's trouble? It's a perspective. If you have a God perspective and know that He is Lord over all things, it does, if you want something to go, then go. Because I know you want space for something else, something better. Did you hear what I just read? We go from one degree of glory to another, from glory to glory to glory. I've said this a thousand times if I've said it once. When the disciples are standing there watching Him, when Jesus is ascending into heaven, the angel said, "What are you doing?" "We're watching Him ascend into heaven." "Why?" "Go do." He's already ahead of you. He's not just there. He's there and there and there. Where can I go from the presence of the Lord? Where can I flee from His Spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the earth, there You will find me. Where could I possibly go from the presence of the Lord? It is the blindness of the heart that tells you that God is not ever present with us. It is the ignorance and willingness to believe that religion and tradition are really the gods. And they're not. I hate religion. I hate it. You hear I'm using the word hate. I hate it. It is an enemy. It is a deceiver. It is a destroyer. It is a controller and a manipulator. It seeks its own. It fills its chairs just so it can have another person to point to and someone else to bring an offering. But a heart that seeks God will tell the truth even if people go away. Because one thing I know, that the seed has been sown, and when the rubber meets the road, they're going to remember. And God will quicken that word in them. And I am responsible to God and God alone. If you like me, I love that. If you don't, I can't be worried about it. But I will tell you the truth. Because it's only the truth that sets you free. There is no devil in your life if you're born of the Spirit of God. He can't get to you. No wickedness will befall thee. The evil one touches you not. You are set free. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. You are delivered from the power of the devil. He has nothing to say about you, no matter how much you hate him. No matter how good you think you are. There is no provision in the word that says, when I do good, evil will come. It doesn't exist in the scripture, but it does in religion. It's called new level, new devil. It's the gospel of man, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe God is present with me. I think I bumped into him several times up here talking. I feel the presence of the Lord, and I don't have to have my emotions tell me. I get all excited and goosebumpy when I just think, you can't be hidden from me. So how can he appear for a second time when he didn't go the first time? I'm not saying he's not coming on a cloud. I'm saying he never went anywhere. He will appear from glory to glory to glory, but don't tell me that the generation ahead or the generation to come is going to have a greater expectation or a greater view or a greater presence than God has given me. He's no respecter of person. Jesus is with me right here. He told his disciples, he said, all these things will come to pass before this generation that you're standing in, before it disappears. What was he saying? I'm just as present with you now as I'm going to be with Gary and Donna and with, who else wants to be named? With Michelle and with Madeline and even with Tony. I'm going to be as present with Tony and Cecilia, just as present. I'm God with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? The scripture is full of the coming of the Lord and the appearance, and one is taken and another is left. I renounce none of that. I'm just saying to you, I'm not waiting for anything because I wasn't told to. I was told to seek for him always, every day, to seek for his presence, to look for him to be present here and now with me, to be the body, to be the radiant light of Jesus Christ in the world that cannot again be hidden. We get more caught up in the means of transportation than we do the arrival. He is present. He is here. He is not in part. There's no piece of God. God doesn't come in pieces. He is whole. He is full. He can't be. If he's here as full as if he comes out of the heavens on a cloud, floating with angels and horses and everything. He's no more going to be no more present then than he is now. He can't be because he's God. He cannot be hidden. And waiting for it is dangerous because we don't move forward. We don't build. We don't do what we should do because he's going to come and annihilate it all. No, he's not. He didn't come to condemn. He came to confirm. Jesus, every time, any time that he appears, it's never going to be a conclusion. It's never going to be a finale. It's always going to be a continuation. And if we just know that, you'll bump into him all the time. You'll always know he's present with you because you believe the word and not your senses. She's not leaving because she's angry. She has to do something and I won't know what it is. He is full and complete. That's why he said, I change not. Not just I don't change, but that's who I am. That's my character. I can't change. No more than I could lie. I can't lie. So everything I say is true and everything I say is going to come to pass. And not only that, if you believe in the character of God and you have faith towards it, whether you heard it or not, you have the power for it to come to pass. If a person believes in their heart what they say will come to pass, it will. But that means you have to believe your word has power, like the centurion. His power was he had the spirit of Christ, consistency. He said, I'm a man of authority and I'm a man under authority. If I'm told to do something, I do it. And I have people under me, and if I tell them to do it, they'll do it. So I know the power of the spoken word. So to him, his world of spoken word was different than everybody else's. People lie. People say things that aren't true. People are deceiving, but not in this man's mind. In his mind, a word was a word. A word is the bond. A word is a covenant. In God's mind, his word is his word. His word is yes, in him, amen. It is a covenant. If you say you're going to do something, do it. And don't say, I need to, and then you never do. Because you're going to doubt your own word. And then when you pray for a thing, because you can't believe that you even keep your own word yourself, you're not going to believe that God will keep his. If a person believes those things which they say will come to pass, then they will have whatsoever they say. The centurion soldier is a perfect analogy of that. I know when I speak a word, it will happen. So, speak a word and it'll happen. Jesus said, wow, there is staggering faith. That's what I'm talking about. I haven't found this great faith in all of Israel. Now, this man didn't claim to be a religious man. He claimed to be unworthy. Some manuscripts say that he sent the servant. He didn't come himself. He wasn't worthy. So he didn't even show up. But he sent his word through an individual, just like Jesus is sending his word through you. If you have one God and one God alone, because that's all there is, one God, one Lord, one Savior, one Christ, one Holy Spirit, just one God. Hear, O nations of the earth, the Lord our God, he is one. If you believe that and that alone, there is no evil God, there is no bad God, there's only God. I don't care if the devil is, where he is, what he wants, he has nothing to say about you. If you're born of the Spirit, you belong to God. You're not a chew toy for him. God doesn't say, here, boy, and throw it. So my dog does that. My dog, our little dog, Cindy, she loves to do that. She'll bring us her little toy, and she'll sit there and just put it in your hand, and she wants you to play with it. But what she really wants you to do, she wants to pretend that she can't hold on to it, so you'll throw it, and she runs after it and chases it. Stop playing dog church. Stop playing fetch in church. God is God. You're not a chew toy. You're not to be chased after. The Lord is my shepherd. He pursues me with goodness all the days of my life. That's why we sing the presence of the Lord. The favor of the Lord is after me. He's pursuing me. No doubt you see. All you have to do is stop and worship him. Oh, there's God again. When I'm worshiping God, when I'm on my knees seeking God, there he is. There he is. Because he inhabits the praises and the worship and the adoration of him in his people. That's God. That's where he is. I don't have to worry about, I hope he heard me. I know he heard me. I tell him all the time, I know you heard me. And I know you answer me because you are faithful. That's the presence of the Lord. He's just as present with me as if he pops out of the heavens on a cloud. He's every bit as present. There is no difference. Just another glory. From glory to glory to glory. You know you're supposed to be kind, so be kind. Love your family. Start with your family. Start with your husband. Start with your wife. Honor them. Love them. Cherish them. Bless them. Bless your children. Don't call them a bunch of devils and demons just because they act like it. Call them blessed of the Lord, chosen of God. I'm thankful that God is so God. I'm thankful that he's with me. I'm thankful that I'm not waiting for him to appear. And yet I wait for him to appear every moment of every day. He is always with me. The mind of God sees things as God. You have to know what to look for. Love. He that dwells in love dwells in God. Why? That is God. So God is in the presence of love. He is in the presence of forgiveness. He is in the presence of faith. For without faith it is impossible to please him. But with faith you can. When you bring an offering before the Lord, that's your faith. God has made you his hand, his extension, the extension of his blessing, the extension of support, the extension of favor, the extension of trust, the extension of confidence in God. If you don't have the heart, it's difficult to succeed. It's difficult to increase in your resources, in your finances, in your business. But if you do, God honors you. He honors you, number one, by changing you. He changes. He shapes your soul. He said it probably one of the best ways I see it is when he spoke to Jeremiah and say, go down to the potter's house. He said, go down to the potter's house and watch the potter work a work. And he watched him. And the word says as he was watching the potter with this vase, this vessel, that it became disformed in the potter's hands. God said, go down and I will speak to you. What was God saying? See the man? That's me. He's working with a piece of pottery, and it looks like it got disfigured. He made again another glory. He made it again in the way that pleased him. And God says, that is me. Can't I do the same thing with you? If it looks like you think you're not in the potter's hands because things seem to be get a little disfigured, God is reshaping it just like he said. Don't call on another God. Don't go out chasing a devil or a demon. They have nothing to say about you. They have nothing to do with you. There's no place in the Word that we're commanded to do that. If someone comes up possessed of a devil, I'll tell it to go, it'll go, and we're free. We move on. But I give no credit to anyone but God. And if you're born again of the Spirit, you have no business talking to the devil. What's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? Why are you talking to him when you could be praising God? David said, I declare your word and your testimony. They're on my lips and in my heart continually. He declared God. Read the Old Testament. They never talked about the devil. You read about it just about one time in Job. And when you come to the climax, to the end, God said, I did it all. And what was the outcome? What was the victory? Call upon the Lord, surrender your heart, and say, God, you are God, and your way is holy. And whatever you say and however you want to do it, that's the best way. My God, his way is perfect. Emmanuel, God is with me always. He can never leave you. He can never forsake you. He can't be more present with you than he is. When you go to heaven, he's going to be just as present with you there as he is here. He would not show another generation more revealed glory than he would you. Moses didn't know God any better than you do. If you were born of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit, then you know God every bit as much as Moses did, or Abraham, or Isaac, or Jacob. Jesus said, this is what I'm going to do. He said, I'm not going to leave you, but I'm going to go and reappear again. I'm not leaving you. I'm not going away. See, when he resurrected, he didn't go away from us. He went with us. He didn't take himself away from you. He took you with him. The words he led, said, let all captive that were captive, he led them. The word says, we ascended with him and he gave gifts to men. some apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, all of it for the perfecting of the saints. What does that mean? Till we all come into the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. You are Lord of all. Of you, through you, and to you are all things. Jesus has never gone away from his people. He wouldn't leave you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I'll never go away from you. I'm ever present. He's called the omnipresent God, the ever-present God, the God who doesn't change, the Lord who leads you, the Lord who guides you, the Lord who loves you. You think he doesn't sometimes because you don't like what you're going through, but would you trust God? He knows what you need. He knows what needs to be done in you. He knows the shaping that's necessary in order to get your heart and your mind in such a position of faith that you can believe him beyond what you've ever believed him for before. So God in all and through all can be glorified in and through you. So you can be the indwelt of the Holy Spirit, the filled by the Spirit of the Father, empowered to God, that God would be glorified in you and that you bear witness to those around you so they have the opportunity to come to the same saving knowledge and grace that you have accepted. It's a gift from God. Everything, all things. I've had personal experiences physically where I'm thinking, God, I don't feel so good. And it used to be, I just, God, heal me. God, deliver me. God, anymore, I just say, God, your perfect will be done. Because your perfect will is more than my prayers of asking you to do what you've already paid provision for. So God, be glorified. Show me what you want me to see. Teach me what you want me to understand and learn. Give me wisdom, spirit, and insight. And God, I'm going to enjoy suffering right now just because I get to. And I'll do it in your name, and I'll bow my knee and raise my hands and say glory to God. You said sometimes it's glorious to suffer if you have the right attitude. God, be praised, be pleased, be glorified. I must decrease, you will increase. God is making space in your life to do something beyond who you are and what you've known yourself to be. For it is no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives in you. How can he leave you if he's inside of you? So is he going to be more Lord to you outside of you than he is inside of you? Is he going to be any closer to you if you open up your eyes and the skies break open or a drape is pulled back and there he is? Is he going to be any closer, more God, more Lord, more Jesus, more present with you than he is now? No. The word says, you have eyes to see, but you don't see. You have ears to hear, but you don't hear. You can see him with your eyes and still doubt him. John did. He declared, there's the Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And they locked him up in prison. He said, you know what? Let's just make sure. You go ask him if he is the one. Do you understand? Looking isn't the thing. Seeing is the thing. And seeing is vision. Seeing is revelation. You know who Jesus is? He is the revelation of the Father. He is a revelation of love. He is a revelation of righteousness, that I can be the righteousness of God in Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is a miracle. It's a wonder. It's a gift of God. The righteousness of God abides me, clothed in the presence of the Lord. When you're clothed in the presence of the Lord, you'll have impact on people's lives in an incredible way. They will sense the temperature change. They'll sense the atmospheric change. They'll sense it. When the wind blows, it doesn't blow. When you feel wind and they're saying the wind is blowing, that's not accurate. I've said this before. The wind is being drawn in. Wind doesn't blow. There's no such thing. Wind is drawn in. You might turn a fan on and blow air, but it has to have some place to go. There has to be an opening. Wind is when the low pressure opens up and there's just a big vacancy and the air just flows through it. The bigger the vacancy, the faster the wind blows. You want God to flow through your life? Empty yourself out of any God but God. Take on the attitude of God. Love, be kind, be generous, be forgiving, be forbearing. Worship God. Declare. You know why we declare his glory? Do you know why they did it in the Old Testament? When David set up the tent for the Lord and brought the Ark of the Covenant in, he set up a bunch of guys. Some played harps and stringed instruments and blew horns, and they did it continually. They did it every day. And his command to them, to the priest, was worship the Lord and declare his glory and his goodness. Why? That's the presence of the Lord. We need the presence of the Lord. We need to be able to see it. When Michelle sings, I hear the praises of God. I hear the heavens of God sing. That's my perspective. I'm going, wow, heaven is singing. Heaven is, God is declaring his glory. God is declaring his righteousness. You have to, but see, you have to believe that God really is God and not be a religious goofball. But just really believe God is God. Not be someone that's unsure, so something didn't go the way I wanted to. The devil did it. Did what? You're the devil. If you doubt God and you try to take the place of him, that's the devil. So don't be a devil. Be a born again. Be a redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Don't try to make out like you did what Jesus did on the cross. Don't try to take credit for that. He destroyed the power of he that had death, and that was the devil. He destroyed the devil. The word says he came to destroy the works and to destroy the power. And you know how he did that? Because Jesus, when they said, the demons are subject to us, Jesus said, so what? I saw him fall like lightning a long time ago. Don't rejoice because demons are subject to you. Rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. But religion today heralds, you know, the devil wants to do and the devil, God forgive them and God open their eyes. We shouldn't be talking about what he wants to do. Who cares? What does God want to do? God's word trumps what the devil is wanting to do. He has nothing to do with you. He has nothing to say about you. Only God should be glorified in your life. Your friends can't stop you. Your boss can't keep you down. Your family can't hold you back. And if agitation is there, you need to praise God in the midst. The word says that we suffer for the kingdom's sake. So go ahead and suffer a little. But suffer in praise and watch God will what he will do. He'll take that pot of your soul and of your spirit and he'll shape it into something that pleases him and something that blesses you. Amen. In short, you have to believe God is God and Jesus finished it all on the cross and Emmanuel, God is with me all the time. And if we'll do that, we'll come together in a greater strength and greater unity, and it's happening. It's coming, I'm telling you. You're going to watch movies, you're going to watch television programs where they're talking about the Lord, where they're speaking about faith, where they're encouraging people. The new church is going to be the screens in theaters. Churches are going to give way. They're going to fold and they're going to fall away. But houses of worship and declaration are going to be raised up in place of them. Amen. And the Lord will be glorified. Amen. It is God's will that he is the center. That he is made known as Lord of all. That he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Mighty God. Prince of peace. One time the disciples are talking to Jesus and they're saying, hey, it's been prophesied, Elijah must come. And this is supposed to be in the time of Jesus coming. And Jesus said, he will. Elijah will come and he will restore all things. It's what Jesus said. And then Jesus said, he's already come. Another time Jesus said, and the word says in that passage, and the disciples knew he referred to John. Another time, they say, you know, it's been said that Elijah would come, and Jesus said, it has been, and it's true. And if you can believe this, he has come. He's John. You understand, you hear what the Word of God is saying to us. It's all here. And if we'd act like it was here instead of waiting for something that's already here, you're not going to find it looking for it where it's not. You're going to find it looking for it where it is. Just my wife, when she arranges everything so neatly that I cannot find it. And she can find it in a second because she knows where it is. Do you know where he is? Let him out. Letting Jesus out is the coming the church is waiting for. Letting him come out of you, out of your bellies will flow rivers of life-giving water. Open up the ark and let the power of the covenant come out of you. I see that as the return, the appearance. To me, it's an appearance. That's the appearance of the Lord. And it's throughout the Word. How can you deny that? It's throughout the Word. That's the appearance of Jesus. And as he appears, there will be a division. It's as though one is taken and one is left. There's a separation. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What is he saying? Let the word of God do what the word of God is to do. As it comes into you, as you receive it, as you meditate upon the word of the Lord day and night. Doesn't mean you have to sit there and keep thinking about it day and night, but it's the answer to everything. It's your expression when you see something that you maybe there's something you see that you don't enjoy. Let the word of God be your expression. You experience something, it's difficult, it's traumatic, it's hard, it's trying. Let the word of God come out of your mouth. The Lord is with me always. You lead me, you guide me in the way I should go. I praise you because you're ever present with me. You're ever good, you're ever God. You love me. You can't be far from me because you can't be hidden because you're ever present. You're omnipresent. Let that come out of your heart. Let that come out of your mouth. Forget your emotions. It doesn't matter whether you feel it or not. Emotions are deceptive. They lie to you. And when you believe them, then they punish you for trusting them. Believe the word of God. And when you do, he will bless you and you'll see the honor and favor of God because that's the word of life coming out of you. Remember, you are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And specific members and part of the body, each and every one of you. It's important to know you are a part of God's reality. Just like you are a part of the body of Christ. The scriptures tell us that God gave Jesus lordship, head over all things, to the church. And it says, speaking of the church, which is his body, the fullness of all things. Pretty heavy scripture. And that's what it says. And that's what it means. So how am I going to see him appear? Through his body. God made a body. His name was Jesus. Emmanuel. God with us. And then Jesus said, now, I'm not leaving you, but I'm going to come back in another glory. And not come back in the way you think, but another appearance from glory to glory to glory. It's time for us to walk in the next glory. This is that glory. And this is the greatest season of your life. Give the Lord praise. Father, we thank you for the authority, the life, the power, the peace, the joy, the greatness of your word. Thank you, my God. I thank you for every ear that heard and every eye that sees by revelation. The spirit of prophecy literally is Christ revealed because the fullness of all things and all time is there. Lord, I thank you that you never went away from us. You ascended with us, seated us in heavenly places with you. You took us into another time, another dimension, another place. It's called walking in the Spirit. Time beyond time. You took us into eternity, timelessness. And God, we thank you for that. I thank you, Father, that there is never a finale to you. There is never a finale to your appearance. It's a continuation of your endless glory. And that is called eternal life. And Father, we thank you for it. Clothe us in your glory. Be glorified. Be pleased. Lead us in the way of your favor. Guide us in the steps and the order of your will and your purpose and your promise and your power. God, we pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, while we're at it, we pray regarding the inauguration that is about to take place. Lord, you have chosen, as your word says, when your king is raised up, you've raised them up, whether we like it or not. But God, I like it and I'm thankful for it. And I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, be glorified under President Donald Trump's administration. Even from this house, it was declared that there would be a second term that he would hold. It didn't look like it, but God, here it is today, and we praise you for it, elected for a second term. So God, we declare it you, your hand, your will. And so God, we pray according to your will. Give your angels charge to protect him, to keep him. He and his family, Lord, keep them from harm, keep them from evil intentions, nefarious plans and ideas. Keep him from them, God. Yes. Uphold him by your word. Let us hear you speak through the leader, Lord, of the United States, the presidency, and through the cabinet members and everyone involved in authority. God, you position, you place, you be glorified. Let your word be heard, be glorified. Let your name, Jesus, be declared. And be pleased. Save our nation, heal our nation, raise our nation up, empower our nation to righteousness. Open doors, Father, where the name of Jesus is heralded throughout the nations. It's not censored. But God, that you were glorified and you were praised. Let the evil intent that destroys nations, families, and people fall to its knees. As a pot, Lord, in the potter's hands, reform it, transform it, shape it, and be glorified in it. Father, we pray. Be wisdom in our president. Be understanding in our president. Be heard, be seen, be glorified in our president. Clothe him in your presence, your will, your word, your decisions, your glory. We pray, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as in heaven. So be glorified, so be pleased, so be praised. We pray for the state of California. We pray for all states, but we call out California. And God, we pray, do with California as pleases you. And this is our prayer, God, that you would be glorified in the state of California. That you would raise up your people in such a way that we come together in the unity of the Spirit and the knowledge of the Son of God and you alone. God, that you speak your word, that your Spirit is poured out on it. Father, that administrations and offices that will not give way to your will, but rather reject them and dispute them and contend with them, that those offices would be removed. And God, that you would put in place those who will glorify your name, who will do right according to your will and according to the laws of the state of California, according to the will of the Lord, according to your word. Make them tell the truth and the truth alone. And in the truth, we will be set free, our nation, our people, these United States and the nations of the earth. Let there be peace in your earth, Lord. Whence come war and fighting? They don't come unless there's lust and warring in their hearts. Bring peace to the heart of your people, God. Your peace. You said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let fear leave our nation, O God. Let fear leave our state. Do a new thing, God. Put the power of yes into your people that will obey you, that will believe your word, that will call upon you and say, Lord, your will be done. Put that authority in those that seek your face and call upon you and seek your word and seek your counsel, O God. These will be the people to whom the Lord will entrust great wealth and great power and great resources and the ability to make decisions that will remain and stand. Call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you didn't even know. Father, we give you praise for it. We love you. We declare your blessing on this, our nation, the United States of America, and God be glorified throughout the nations of the earth. And in this administration, O God, be seen, be heard, be pleased, and be glorified. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And together as a body, everyone shouted, amen. God is with us. God has blessed us. God has chosen you. He's called you. He's appointed you. He's empowered you. And this is the greatest season of your life. I'm going to ask you to stand with me for a moment. Most of you know, but if you don't know, this rope represents what the scripture said when Jesus said, seek the kingdom. And then he said, the kingdom of God is within you. And the literal translation is it is within your grasp. This rope is strong. It is a representation of binding and releasing. And the word says, whatever we released in heaven, in the earth would be released in the heavens. Whatever we bind in the earth would be bound in heaven. This to me is a representation of just how close the kingdom of God is. For it's not coming, Jesus said. If they tell you it's coming, don't believe it. The kingdom of heaven cannot be observed. The kingdom of heaven lies within you. Father, we give you praise today. Thank you for your word. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as in heaven. We pull upon the heavens of our God and of our Christ and say, O Lord God, be glorified in your people. Raise up your church. Raise up your body. Be heard. Be seen. Father, let what is called entertainment be words of encouragement, life, and transformation. Bring a change, Father, into the directors and the producers and those in the industry, actors and actresses, God, that have the gift and the talent to communicate an idea, to communicate a face, to analogize. God, be glorified. Let your word be heard. It's time for the Lord to appear, that every eye see. The Lord of glory is present. The Lord of glory has come. The Lord of glory is here. He appears. So, Lord, appear as it pleases you. Be glorified in your earth, Father, we pray. We want to make heaven restless, not of might or power, but by your word and by your spirit. For your word declares that the angels, even the angels of God, look to see what is being revealed in your saints, your people, your body, because it's that of faith. So be glorified, Father. So be pleased, so be praised. And we declare, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord our God has spoken. Let your glory be poured out, be glorified, be seen, be heard, be manifest in your earth. God, we give you praise. This we pray, and we know it to be so. For you are ever faithful, God, in Jesus' name. Everybody shouted. Yeah.